When I was a child, I remember spending what seems like an inordinate amount of time trying to figure out why miracles happened in biblical times but didn't seem to happen in our time. It was a reasonable question to ask, I think, but I'm not sure if it was the right question to ask. Many scholars today, for instance, say that arguing about whether someone can or cannot walk on water is kind of like arguing with Aesop over whether there are animals who speak in ancient Greece or not. I.e., it simply misses the point. The more important question to ask is, what does the story point to? After all, it is a fantastic story, set immediately after the story we heard last week about the feeding of the 5,000. Here, Jesus tells the disciples to get into a boat, go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Then he dismisses the crowds, goes off to pray, and that night a huge storm blows up, and the disciples' boat, far from shore, is tossed about by the waves. Suddenly, out of nowhere, Jesus comes walking across these storm-tossed waters towards the disciples. "Take heart, it is I," he says. "Don't be afraid." And Peter, having leapt out of the boat, only gives in to his fear and starts sinking. Peter cries out, "Save me," and Jesus reaches out his hand and takes him and reels him in. "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." Take heart, don't be afraid. Those words, so easy to say, but so difficult to do, especially when we feel like we're out on the water with no help in sight. A number of years ago, I went to New York and visited an exhibition of old ancient maps at the main branch of the public library. You probably know the one I'm talking about. It's the one with the sculptures of those huge lions out in front. In the exhibition, there were naturally maps of the so-called New World. Now, I always find old maps kind of fun because it seems that when the map makers encountered unknown waters, they had a tendency to let their imaginations go wild. And you've probably seen such maps, bordered with decorations of all kinds of mythic animals, animals with many heads, human beings with strange clothing. And if the map is one of the oceans, you usually see huge sinuous sea serpents, writhing dragons with reptilian wings and nostrils of fire. Great stuff. "Here be the dragons," these ancient map makers wrote in bold letters beside those figures. "Here there be dragons." Clearly, what they were saying is stop. Stop here. Don't go any further. No one knows what lies beyond these boundaries. No one has ever returned who has seen this territory. Danger, Will Robinson. Here, there be dragons. That's kind of the way I think a lot of us feel when we hit rough spots in our lives. We cast around fearfully. We look for solace, some sort of comfort, something to assure us that it's really not as bad as it seems. But no matter how much we struggle to find hope, so often it seems like we're living on the edges of a map, if you will. Living where there is a perpetual warning, watch out, here there be dragons. In some respects, there are similarities between that part of our lives and the life of the early followers of Jesus, the ones who first pulled these stories together and pulled the sayings together and created what we now call the gospel. The life of the Jewish community at that time was in terrible chaos. The temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed, and with the loss of the temple, there was no longer any particular group who could speak authoritatively for Judaism. And that created a huge problem, because in the Roman Empire, only certain religious communities were given protection and authority. Without the temple, there were suddenly all kinds of Jewish groups vying with one another to see who was going to wind up protected, who was going to get the Roman stamp of approval, and maybe just importantly, who was not going to get that approval. So clearly, the early Christian community, Jews by right, were feeling like they were pretty far out to sea, cast adrift in the midst of battering waves. This is the community that captured and celebrated the words we heard from Jesus: "Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid." And while today we may not face persecution or lions, if you will, there are plenty of ways in which many of us today feel just as storm-tossed and wind-blown. All one has to do is pick up a newspaper to see just how much chaos there is in our world. Wars and rumors of war, poverty, crime, disease, health care, an economy that doesn't work for many. The wolf, for many, is at the door. We may not be facing the kind of agonizing death that some of those early Christians faced, but the powers and principalities are just as indifferent to human suffering as they were in first century Palestine. The wheels of the empire bear down on us just as it did on them. Here there be dragons. Here there be big dragons. And in the midst of that storm, today again we hear, "Take heart. Don't be afraid." This morning's gospel calls us, as it did those early Christians, to take heart in spite of the storm. It calls us to look at the edges of our maps, to face the worries and the turmoil of our life and the times, and to proclaim in the face of all of that, "Here, there be Christ." Here at the edges of our knowledge, beyond the boundaries of our experience and our existence, here in those unknown, unknowable, unchartable waters, where we have for so long imagined the worst possible things, here where we have looked and seen the dragons of fear and prejudice, the dragons of ignorance, here there be Christ. How can we say such a thing? How can we make it more than just a pious platitude? Well, I'd suggest that we start it right here in this place. I think that the way we get through the storms and the tempests of our lives and the world is by being present to one another, is by carrying each other's burdens, hearing each other's worries, stretching out our hands to someone who's sinking, to someone in need of care and attention. That may not solve the problems of the world, but it might be a start, a beginning, a ripple that turns into a wave. But I think you already know this. So often I've seen the people of this congregation reach out to one another. The quality of your commitment to each other is unmistakable. You have cared for one another, you have been the church, the body of Christ, and that's no small feat. in you and through you and by you, the ministry of Jesus continues in this place. Every time you look around and see someone sinking in turbulent waters, every time you stretch your hands out to pull the person back, your hands are Jesus' hands. You know as I do that life isn't always easy. In fact, as a matter of fact, I can pretty much guarantee to you that it's never easy. And it's not going to be. But what I will also tell you is that when it feels like you're up to your neck and about to go under, take heart. As Julian of Norwich reminded us centuries ago, he didn't say you would not be tempted, or that you would not be troubled, or that you would not be distressed, but he did say, you will not be overcome. That, I believe, is our strength. That, I believe, can be our comfort, our hope. Thanks be to God who is with us in the midst of the storm. Amen.